Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
World Service members will be well aware of my ongoing movie project, Being Novak Djokovic, in which an out-of-work puppeteer discovers a portal inside the mind of the world's number one tennis player. Any similarities with any movie starring John Malkovich are purely coincidental and in no way cause for a messy copyright dispute. Well, what a scene we have to add to that movie after yesterday's Australian Open final, not because of anything that happened in the match itself. Djokovic coasting to a ninth title at the Rod Laver Arena. Now, the interesting stuff happened afterwards during the trophy presentation. It was then that the $200 price tag to be inside Djokovic's head would have been worth every penny. Welcome to Monday's Second Captain's mini podcast. Hi, Ken. Hi, Merv.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
It's going all right. We've got a full Monday football podcast out now, available to all on the World Service. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking tennis with Caitlin Thompson, one of our most popular guests on any sport. So you can think of this pod as a bit of a warm-up to the Caitlin chat. The background to all this is that Novak Djokovic arrived in Melbourne this year and promptly pissed a lot of people off with his list of demands sent to tournament organisers to improve the conditions the players were forced to quarantine under. He's been making headlines since the start of the pandemic, obviously, with his somewhat lax hosting of an exhibition event last summer, and I would say his lack of enthusiasm for vaccines might be the best way of phrasing that one. So it was interesting to hear the reaction of many of the Novak fans in the stadium to this speech by Jane Herdlicka. She's the chair of Tennis Australia.
Both players, and frankly all of the players over the course of the last 3 weeks, have been playing under exceptional circumstances. In fact, the last 12 months have been exceptional circumstances for everybody around the world. It's been a time of heartfelt challenge. It's been a time of deep loss and extraordinary sacrifice for everyone. And with vaccinations on the way, rolling out in many countries around the world, it's now a time for optimism and hope for the future.
Sport in 2021 is it's an odd place to be.
Yeah.
You sit down to watch a... Why did I bother watching the trophy presentation, Murph? I don't know. I guess I kind of watched it in the hope that something interesting might happen, that there might be some allusion to the background, to the fact that I just found it weird. Not weird, it was quite obvious that Novak Djokovic was going to win this, but I just wanted to see how it was all handled. He went on to give his speech, by the way, and was extremely magnanimous towards his opponent and was really on a charm offensive, actually. He was holding out the olive branch, so to speak, to the tournament organisers. But it was a reaction of his fans in the stands there to the mere mention of the word vaccines that I thought was worth noting.
Like, it's pretty odd, but again, maybe this is a situation, and you know, it is kind of hard to get your head around that in some ways. But obviously Novak Djokovic has an extremely fervent support amongst kind of, you know, the kind of Serbian population living in Australia, for instance, and just generally around the world, people who admire his 18 Grand Slam victories, and, you know, more power to him. But I mean, this idea that the mere mention of vaccines in by like some tournament organizer in an award ceremony is seen as a hit on Novak Djokovic, and therefore if it's a hit on our guy, we have to then boo the person who said that.
Not that I'm presenting it
as a hate on Novak Djokovic, but I have to say, when she said the word vaccines, immediately all that came into my head was Djokovic as well. You know, it was the fact that it's Djokovic standing around there. I mean, I'm not saying I was sitting there at home booing Hrdlicka. I mean, she's well within her rights to bring this up, but I'm not surprised that what went into the fans' heads was also Djokovic. Not to excuse the their reaction to that. But what I'm saying is, she must have known that. She must have known that in mentioning that people would be
in mentioning
also
vaccines
about Djokovic's
stance. Yeah. And the fact that you're hosting a tournament where there are crowds, sure, but I mean, it's not a full house or anything like it. And it's still one of the few sporting events in the world with any fans in whatsoever. I mean, you know, it would be a bit odd not to mention the fact that there is a global pandemic happening at the moment.
Yeah, it's really weird. But I mean, this is what happens. I mean, I know old Novak has tried to sort of roll back on his anti-vax comments by saying,
he said essentially the media took it out of context, and what he was saying was he wasn't going to be forced to have a vaccine, essentially, as opposed to
like I would say, just stand up for what you believe in, Novak. You know, don't
there are plenty of guys out there, it turns out. You know, like there's actually, you know, quite a sizable population of the world who would think of you as a hero. So, I mean, go for it.
And it's interesting. Those boos, like, I mean, that vaccine was a trigger word. It's just so crazy, isn't it? Like, you know, I mean, everyone is like, well, not everyone. You think most people at this point are like, yeah, I wouldn't mind a vaccine. Anyway, we can sort that out. You know, lots of people are pissed off at the moment because, like, why are the vaccines, what's taking them so long with the vaccines? You know what I mean?
This is supply and demand. The only problem vaccine has from a pure perspective at the moment is supply and demand. You know, I would have to say that, you know, the public reaction towards, we are pro-vaccine as a planet, I would say, at the moment, to an extent that maybe we haven't ever been. If anyone's offering vaccines, I'm on board.
Everybody's talking about vaccines. Love them or loathe them, you can't help but talk about them. There are still plenty of people who are obviously against it. I mean, all those anti-vax groups have sort of increased in size. You know, like it's the movement has had new life breathed into it by the pandemic. You know, you mightn't have expected it, but all publicity is good publicity, I suppose. I mean, it reminded me a bit of the Millwall booing, you know, and I think they were booing really the same thing. You know, at Millwall, the fans are booing BLM, Marxism, you know, the secret plot to subvert society. And that's also what they're booing in Melbourne. The plot by, you know, hidden forces, shadowy agents in the establishment, trying to control the masses. You know, it's the same thing in each instance. I mean, you might think that, like, players taking a knee and, you know, against racism and, you know, coronavirus vaccine don't have much in common, but they're it's like quite a large constituency of people, a lot of them Novak Djokovic and Millwall fans, who I wonder what the Venn diagram is there. There must be some Novak Djokovic Millwall fans who are just like, yeah, you know, can't you people see what's really going on here? Can't you see that this is that it's all about control? You know, they're trying to control you once they get the vaccine in there. Can't you see that it's all about control? So, yeah, I guess we're gonna be seeing more of this as the fans come back to the stadiums. I mean, who knows when they will be coming back? Did you see the Sunday Times yesterday claiming that that England or the UK was going to offer to host Euro 2020, which is what they're still calling Euro 2020, even though it's Euro 2021 now, because they're going to be so far advanced with their vaccination plan, thanks to Unchained Brexit Britain. I saw the phrase used in the Daily Mail. I think Matt Hancock has already said, as far as I know, that's wrong, although they're just because they're denying it at this stage doesn't mean it's not the case. But the point is, it does look as though soon there's going to be fans coming back into stadiums, and we'll be hearing them express more of their concerns about this, the shadowy agents trying to control their minds using these Trojan horse schemes, such as vaccination and anti-racism.
Could be. But we're going to talk more about Djokovic tomorrow, Caitlin Thompson, and of course Naomi Osaka winning her Grand Slam, her fourth Grand Slam. Djokovic moves within two of Nadal and Federer in their great old rivalry. But there's a new rivalry brewing in Irish sport, and it's in the sport of athletics. A few days ago, Nadia Power smashed the Irish indoor 800 metre national record, qualified for the European indoors in a few weeks, and looks like the best Irish athlete to come on the scene for a while. And then last night, Shifra Cleric-Butner smashes Nadia's record. That beats it reasonably well anyway, with an unbelievable run in the American Track League. Now, the team for the European Championships is named later today. It might have been named by the time you listen to this podcast. But as I record, the question in my mind is, who's going to get picked? And the image in my mind, oh no. You know what this reminds me of?
But it was the way it was done. It was all wrong. I just went over to Ollie in the corner and I just said, Ollie, congrats, you're in. And I think it was just gobsite.
Oh, I can't take another Ward Campbell, Murph.
luckily, there are three picks possibly going to the European indoors. Oh, yeah. So it's not really, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, you know, two major characters on the Irish sports scene. I get that. It's just, it's not for one jersey. You know, there are in fact three Irish singlets up for grabs here to go to the European indoors. But you're a hype man. Listen, I praised your hype man capabilities last week ahead of the Milan Derby, and I'm doing it again, Owen. You're a hype man par excellence. The P.T. Barnum of the podcasting world.
In the last 5 days, five different Irish athletes have posted the five fastest runs in the history of this indoor event in Ireland. And the men's is big things happening as well. There's a young lad by the name of Cian McPhillips who pushed Mark English all the way over the weekend and ran an unbelievable time, a record-breaking time himself. And revealed afterwards that he just wanted to get the leaving cert stuff sorted. He needed some clarity on what's going to happen with his leaving cert this year. And then he was able to get in the right headspace for this run. So, you know, there are, I mean, while the young male tennis players are not stepping up to knock Novak Djokovic off the throne, there are young sports people elsewhere in the world who are at least trying to do their best to reach the top of the game. We've had a ton of correspondence in from our wonderful members over the last week, by the way. A week in which we accidentally started a new slot. This one is sure to run and will always reflect well on us, I'm sure. It's called Grammar Police.
I thought it stinked.
Stunk or stank. I wouldn't be holding it against it. Stinked.
I thought it stunk.
I'll never forgive it. I'll never forget.
Email in here from David for consideration by the Grammar Police. He says, having listened to Owen's many frequent mentions of being John Malkovich / Novak Djokovic. I don't know where the
two totally different ideas. Two totally different ideas.
Something shocking dawned on me. Owen can't pronounce the word film properly. He gives it the old film treatment, which is, I think, the way I always... Understandable for the average man in the street, but not for a broadcasting behemoth. This was driven home hard in recent Murph and Mal's movie slot. Film. He was motivated to make the film. Film. Having my son Jason direct this film. Film. The making of this film. 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 I don't. Film. Come on. Were that many echoes strictly necessary ever? I don't know. The email continues. I've become accustomed to Owen tripping over, the Belgian player that I'm not going to mention, played for Everton, Man United, but not this. That's from David Sheehan.
You know, Owen, like this is an this has been an anti-Irish trope for quite a while. You know, I
film. Film. The, film.
Yeah, Irish people pronouncing film. Film as film. And, you know, I could have said it to you. I could have mentioned it to you over the years. But I didn't want to be like that Sky Sports producer taking Dermot Gallagher down a peg or two for his THs. You know, at the end of the day, we're all just trying to muddle along.
I don't understand why is this such a big deal? Like, I think I do that as well. And I didn't realize it was something I was meant to be ashamed of. And now that I've learned that I am meant to be ashamed of it, I don't care.
Yeah, you're doubling down now. So, it's nothing but films from now on.
Yeah, but like what's embarrassing about it? Like I don't even understand. It's just a regional variation in how a word is pronounced. I mean, there's loads of them. Why should this one attract any more attention than
probably
for instance, all the instances in which English people can't say the letter or.
Yeah.
Or H. even the letter H they can't say. I mean, they would say I'm saying it wrong, but I mean, what I'm saying is people say words, the same words differently in different accents, who cares?
Like I said, guys, this is a slot that's going to run and run.
Like, this isn't grammar. This is nothing to do with grammar. This is regional pronunciation.
I think
Owen's underlying grammar is rock solid. You know, grammar is the underlying structure of meaning in the you know, how the words link together to create a meaning. And there's absolutely no question about that. Well, you know, NQAT, everyone knows what Owen was saying when he used this word. Everybody knew what he was referring to. It's just that some people, for some reason, think that the Irish way, well, an Irish way of saying it, isn't as good.
An Irishman himself, Ken,
it's
David
something
Sheehan.
To be sneered at. Yeah. It's something to be,
well, see, well, you know,
an Irishman, but what kind of an Irishman? you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's probably the word as well. You know, if someone's calling it film instead of, you know, the movies, or...
I went for movie at the very start of the podcast, actually, this time. Yeah,
because, you know, maybe... What's wrong people, with that? No, maybe people think that people who refer to, you know, the art form as film as opposed to the movies or cinema are being twats. So maybe a bit of that feeds into the English attitude towards Irish people who can't pronounce the word film, or indeed pronounce it in a different way to how they pronounce the word film.
That's film. Today's edition of Grammar Police.
I thought it stinked.
Stunk or stank. I wouldn't be holding it against it. Stinked.
I thought it stunk.
I'll never forgive it. I'll never forget.
Later in the week, we're going to be talking tennis. We've got Six Nations. There's a couple of... There's some more Scots piling in on Murph this week, so we'll chat about that in the build-up to the game against France. Yep. And there's obviously Champions League and loads more good stuff. So if you aren't a member, consider signing up on secondcaptains.com for €5 a month plus VAT. If you are a member, sure, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Murph. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Owen, and thank you, Ciarán.
Thanks for listening.
Marouane Fellaini... Marouane Fellaini.
Jesus Christ.
Fellaini. Marouane Fellaini. He's Marouane.
What form is that? That's the second time he's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.